Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI.
So today we're diving deep into M.L. Stedman's The Light Between Oceans. It's one of those books that really stays with you.
It really does, a contemporary classic for sure.
And it just forces you to confront this incredibly difficult question, doesn't it? Like, what happens when doing the right thing feels utterly wrong because of love?
Exactly. And Stedman's background, well, it's quite telling. She worked in law before becoming a writer.
Oh, right. You can sort of feel that, can't you?
Definitely. It's not just a story about emotion. It's this intricate ethical puzzle she sets up. She deliberately puts human feelings, love, grief, that desperate desire right up against the cold, hard facts of, you know, legal accountability.
So our mission today is really to unpack that, trace how this one decision spirals.
Precisely. We need to look at the plot as this series of, well, moral choices, maybe even failures, and really understand the weight of that secret, especially for someone like Tom, whose whole identity is built on duty.
That makes sense. And the book itself, published back in 2012, it just took off, didn't it?
It really resonated globally, I think, because it takes this almost unbelievable event.
Yeah, finding a baby in a boat.
Right. And grounds it in something painfully human and relatable.
Yeah.
Our capacity for making terrible choices for reasons that feel right at the time. It asks that brutal question. Law says one thing, your heart screams another. Which one wins?
And the setting is just crucial for that internal battle.
Absolutely central. We're whisked away to Janus Rock. It's this tiny, incredibly remote lighthouse station off the coast of Western Australia. We're talking the 1920s here.
Just the name, Janus Rock.
It's perfect, isn't it? The Roman god, two faces, looking forwards and back, beginnings and endings.
Yeah. And the island itself is literally between two oceans. It becomes this threshold.
Exactly. A threshold between Tom's old life of moral certainty and this incredibly murky gray area he's about to step into.
And standing guard there is Tom Sherburne. He's our main guy.
Our protagonist. A World War I veteran, deeply scarred, looking for quiet, for order.
He specifically chooses the lighthouse for that isolation, right?
Yeah.
To escape the chaos.
Yes. He's defined by duty, by principles, by the clear rules that, you know, helped him survive the war. The lighthouse isn't just a job. It's kind of his penance, his sanctuary, a place where things are supposed to make simple sense again.
And that need for simplicity, for certainty, is what makes everything that follows so gut-wrenching.
It absolutely is. Because he's seeking solitude, but then he meets Isabel Graysmark. She's on the mainland in Partosius.
And she's his opposite in many ways.
Completely. Vibrant, impulsive, full of life. She represents everything he thought he left behind. Hope, spontaneity.
They have this whirlwind romance, get married, and she comes out to Janus Rock with him. Initially, it sounds almost idyllic, their own private world.
It starts that way, but the story turns dark very quickly. Isabel suffers multiple miscarriages, devastating losses.
And a stillbirth, too, wasn't it?
Yes. And that grief, combined with the stark, utter isolation of the island, it just consumes her. It pushes her into this deep despair.
The isolation almost magnifies the grief, right? There's nowhere to escape it.
Exactly. It becomes what I'd call a kind of moral solvent. On the mainland, there are people, distractions, support systems maybe, out there. It's just them, the sea, and the silence.
And her grief seems to blind her to anything else. Morally blind, as you said.
It does. It eats away at her rationality. She feels wronged by the universe, utterly cheated.
Which sets the stage perfectly for that moment, the turning point. It feels like Stedman is showing us how grief can make ordinary people justify extraordinary actions.
She really is. Isabel feels like she's owed this child, that fate has been cruel. The ethical dilemma is already simmering before the boat even arrives. It's not if they'll break the rules, but when.
And then, April 27th, 1926, the storm hits.
A huge storm, adding to the drama, the intensity. And this small boat, a dinghy, washes ashore.
Inside, a dead man and a baby, crying, but alive and healthy.
Tom's reaction is immediate. It's reflexive. Duty.
Log it. Report it. Notify the authorities. That's the rule book Tom lives by.
The law is crystal clear. But Isabel, she's operating purely on emotion by this point. Raw, desperate need.
She sees the baby as a miracle, a sign.
A gift from the sea meant to heal her broken heart. Her argument to Tom is, well, it's incredibly powerful and manipulative, frankly. She says, if we report it, she'll just go into an orphanage.
Forcing him into this impossible choice. Save Isabel's sanity or uphold his own principles.
And love wins. Or perhaps desperation wins. He agrees. That's the pivotal moral compromise.
So they bury the man secretly, push the dinghy back out to sea.
And they claim the baby as their own. They name her Lucy. They build this fragile little world of happiness, but it's all built on this enormous lie.
And the book does such a good job showing that the happiness is real for a time, but the lie underneath.
It's like a poison slowly seeping into everything. For the next 4 years, it eats away at them, but in really different ways.
How so? Let's break that down. Tom first.
Okay, Tom. His happiness is always tainted. He's constantly wrestling with this immense guilt. He broke his own code, the very thing that defined him. It's a quiet, internal torture.
So his suffering comes from knowing he did wrong. What about Isabel?
Isabel's journey is fueled by denial. She throws herself into being a mother, and she's wonderful at it, loving, devoted. But her love becomes possessive, fiercely protective.
Almost like she has to believe she did nothing wrong to keep functioning.
Exactly. She needs to justify it constantly to herself. The universe owed me this. This child was meant for me. Her trauma becomes her shield.
Whereas Tom's makes him more vulnerable, more aware of potential harm to others.
Right. And the irony is thick, isn't it? The secret they thought would bind them together in this shared experience.
It actually drives a wedge between them.
It corrodes their intimacy. Trust evaporates, replaced by Tom's fear of discovery and Isabel's terror of losing Lucy.
And eventually, the isolation of Jaina's Rock can't protect them anymore.
Yeah.
The outside world intrudes.
It always does, doesn't it? During a trip to the mainland, Tom's conscience gets a brutal reality check. He learns about Hannah Ronfeldt.
Ah, Hannah. The real mother.
The biological mother. Wealthy, grieving. Her husband, Frank, a German immigrant, which adds another layer in post-WWI Australia, and their baby daughter, Grace, were lost at sea.
Around the same time they found Lucy.
Precisely. Hannah's been mourning at an empty grave, clinging to this sliver of hope, never knowing for sure.
That must have just destroyed Tom. Seeing the face of the person whose life they shattered.
It's the breaking point for his conscience. His sense of duty, buried for years, surges back. He has to do something, even if it risks everything.
So he leaves the rattle, the little silver one found on the boat.
Anonymously, yes. Leaves it for Hannah. It's this tiny fragment of truth dropped like a bomb into her world. Then later, an anonymous note saying the baby is safe, loved.
Such a risky move. Trying to ease his guilt, but potentially blowing everything up.
It's almost self-sabotage, born from his inability to live the lie anymore. But for Isabel, it's the ultimate betrayal. She sees it as him choosing a stranger over their family.
And it all comes crashing down on that last mainland visit.
Yes. Lucy is four now. Hannah sees her. Maybe it's a look, a family resemblance.
Something clicks.
Something clicks. The truth explodes. Police are involved. Their carefully constructed life implodes in an instant.
And the consequences are just horrific for everyone.
Devastatingly complex is the word. Little Lucy, who only knows Tom and Isabel as mom and dad, is ripped away and returned to Hannah.
But the reunion Hannah dreamed of.
It's a nightmare. Lucy rejects her. She's terrified, confused, grieving for the only parent she's ever known. It's a stark reminder of how adult choices scar the innocent.
And Tom, in the middle of all this chaos.
He makes this incredibly selfless move. He confesses to everything, taking the full blame to shield Isabel. He even claims he murdered Frank.
Which wasn't true, right? They find out Frank had a heart attack.
Correct. Evidence clears him of murder later. But his confession is about pure atonement, taking the punishment he feels he deserves.
But then Isabel, she falters at the crucial moment.
Her final tragic failure. Lost in her own grief and panic at losing Lucy, she doesn't defend Tom. She lets the police believe his false confession.
Wow. The lie that brought them together ultimately tears them apart in the most brutal way.
It's weaponized. Her fear and maternal instinct lead to this profound betrayal. Just heartbreaking.
So, moving beyond the immediate plot, let's think about the big themes Stedman is exploring here. Parenthood is obviously huge.
Absolutely. And the novel gives no easy answers, does it? It pits biology against nurture, the bond of blood versus the bond of love and care.
And it doesn't seem to pick a side.
No, it refuses to. Both claims feel valid. Hannah's biological right is undeniable, but Isabel's deep, nurturing love for Lucy created a powerful reality, a true mother-daughter relationship, even if it started with a crime. It forces us to ask what really makes a parent.
And the role of isolation. Jaina's Rock itself.
It's such a powerful symbol. They thought the island created its own rules, that their actions wouldn't have consequences beyond its shores. A kind of moral bubble.
But the story shows that's impossible, right?
Completely. The isolation provided the opportunity for the choice, the space for the secret to fester. But it offered no immunity from moral law or the inevitable consequences. Actions always ripple outwards. You can't escape responsibility.
Which brings us to forgiveness. That feels like the ultimate message, especially through Tom.
Yes, Tom's journey culminates in this hard-won understanding. There's that incredible line.
You only have to forgive once. To resent, you have to do it all day, every day.
That's the one. It's profound. Holding on to resentment is this constant, exhausting effort. It keeps you trapped in the past.
While forgiveness is presented as a release.
A single act of letting go. Not saying the wrong thing didn't happen or that it didn't hurt, but choosing not to be defined by that pain anymore. Choosing freedom. That's the peace Tom eventually finds.
And Isabel finds her way there too, eventually.
Yeah, she does, though it takes longer. Realizing the depth of Tom's sacrifice pushes her to confess her part. And before she dies, she writes that letter to Lucy Grace. A final act of letting go, perhaps.
And the ending. 20 years later, Lucy Grace visits Tom.
That provides such necessary closure. She's an adult, a mother herself now. She doesn't come for explanations or accusations. She comes essentially to offer thanks, a form of absolution.
Validating the love that existed, even within the lie.
Exactly. Acknowledging that even a life built on such a profound wrong contained its own truth, its own genuine love.
It's a book that really challenges you to withhold judgment, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It forces you into that uncomfortable gray area where love and ethics just clash horribly.
And it reminds us that moral failure isn't something reserved for villains. It's a deeply human vulnerability, something we're all capable of under pressure, especially when love is involved.
A humbling thought, really, that sometimes the path to peace isn't about erasing mistakes, but about finding empathy for others, and maybe even for ourselves.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Apatra Foundation.